Welcome to the Reiki Gateway Podcast with Reiki Masters Kathleen Johnson and Andrea Kennedy. Journey with us and let's explore what lies beyond the Reiki Gateway.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Reiki Gateway. This is Kathleen Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrea Kennedy. Today's episode is all about spirit guides. We'll be talking about spirit guides and hopefully educating our listeners a little bit more about them. We'll talk about what spirit guides are and a little bit about what they are not. We'll also talk about what to look for when they are delivering guidance or messages. What are the signs? Also, what is their purpose and their responsibility when we are having a life on planet Earth? We'll also share our experiences, Andrea and I, and the experiences of some of the people with whom we've worked with our own spirit guides. We'll talk about how spirit guides evolve and change over time. And at the end of this episode, we'll be sharing a link in the show notes for an original meditation recorded by Andrea in which you can meet your own personal spirit guides. Thank you for listening in, and we hope you enjoy this episode of Beyond the Reiki Gateway.
I think there are a lot of questions that people have about spirit guides, and I sure hope that we can answer some of those today and offer some of our own experiences too along the way. I would hope that by the end of the episode, people can maybe pinpoint when they've received guidance from their spirit guides, or at least find out new ways to be able to communicate with them and what to look for their own personal guidance. Let's dive in and talk about spirit guides in a more general sort of way. Kathleen, what is your understanding currently about spirit guides? What would you first like to share with the audience?
Well, my understanding of spirit guides is based on many years of experience working with them and through channeled information, working with clients, having many past life regressions, all sorts of experiences that give me a glimpse, if you will, into how the spirit realm works and how it doesn't. Now, before I share any more about this, I just want to make it very clear that by no means am I an authority on this. Spirit works with each one of us in the way that's right for each one of us. And so someone else's spirit guide experience is very likely to be different than mine, but I do think that there are some commonalities that are shared. So I will just begin by saying, for me, spirit guides are souls, if you will, you know, souls who are still in spirit and may even be people that we once knew, either in this lifetime or previous lifetimes, who have transitioned into spirit, and they are now assigned to us in this lifetime to act as our guide or guides. And I guess that's a very simplistic way of describing what spirit guides are, but they can also be souls at a much higher level in the spiritual realm. They can be souls that are still on the astral and anywhere in between. So when we talk about spirit guides, it is really a very, very large topic. And that's one of the reasons Andrea and I wanted to discuss this today, because we're hoping to distill it down and hopefully not offer any more confusing information about them that is already out there.
Right. I know my understanding of spirit guides has completely changed over the years, understanding what they are, how they work with us. But above and beyond that, my own interaction with them and how I perceive them has changed. Way back about 25 or 26 years ago, I wanted to read or absorb as much information as I possibly could about all things spiritual. And I happened upon a book by Sylvia Brown, and it was all about spirit guides. And that's where I started my journey about learning about spirit guides. And I remember she had some pretty specific information in there. And my analytical mind really did love that. And that's where I started. I was then on a journey. I wanted to find out, who are my spirit guides? And I probably asked that question a million times and tried really hard to figure that out. You know, things have really changed over the years. Kathleen, how did you get started with spirit guides?
I think for me, and this is pretty funny, I have that same book that you're referring to, the Sylvia Brown book. As you were speaking, I pulled it off my bookshelf, and it is called Contacting Your Spirit Guide. It gave me a lot of information. And that was, I guess, my introduction to spirit guides. And like you, Andrea, in retrospect, I kind of chuckle at that now, although I still have the book, don't I?
Isn't that funny that we both started with that Sylvia Brown book? Who would ever have thought that?
When you were talking, I was thinking, oh my goodness, I look to my left and I can see it on my bookshelf. This is, here it is.
That's crazy. I wonder how many of our listeners actually have that book or have that in common with us. That's just so funny.
It really is. It really is.
And so did you use the book or the information in the book? How did you first know about a spirit guide of your own?
That's a really good question. I did read the book, and there was a spirit guide meditation CD inside, which I also listened to. From my recollection, I don't think it was all that helpful to me at the time. Reading the book was far more helpful as far as reading about how Sylvia perceived the spirit world to be arranged and the hierarchy and all that. That was very interesting to me. The CD was really not all that helpful. But I became interested in spirit guides. And like you, I was on this quest to know more. Who were mine or who is mine? I didn't even know if there was just one or two or a legion of them. I just didn't know. I guess my first real contact with the spirit guide that I recognized as such and actually communicated with me was during my very first past life regression. And that particular spirit guide was with me for many years, and he's no longer with me because he has been, you know, retired to probably work with other people. I have a different set of guides now. We can get into that a little bit later as well, but I'll never forget this particular guide. He presented as a male. He told me to call him Richard. He was very, very helpful to me at a pretty sad and distressing period in my life. So I have very fond memories of that particular spirit guide. And I now believe, and in retrospect, as we learn things, we go along, that Richard came to me during that period because he knew I needed some validation and some confirmation that, yes, indeed, I was not alone. You know, spirit had my back. And I think that's why he presented himself to me in that way and at that time.
That's beautiful. For me, it was a frustrating sort of beginning for me to learn about my spirit guide. So I was really driven by curiosity there at the beginning. And I'm sure I probably did that CD too, but because I can't remember anything that happened, it probably didn't work the same way that it didn't work for you. But that's okay, because what it does is it helps prime the pump, I think. And so even if we don't have success doing a CD or a guided meditation to meet our guides, that's all right. Give it some time and then maybe retry it. And what happened for me is I remember I was teaching high school at the time, and I had also retaken my Reiki master training. And so I just felt more connected energetically, but I was driving to and from the high school where I taught. And I remember asking, who's my spirit guide? I want to know about my spirit guide. And I had a name come into my head, but it was very strange because it was the name Bernard. But then there was this after it, just this boof. Like there was something after the Bernard, like it was an incomplete word and there was more at the end. And that baffled me. But what I did was I just let that lead to doubt. And I decided, oh, Andrea, you're just so ridiculous. Bernard, really? And I asked several times, and each time it was the same sort of feeling that I just found frustrating. I didn't pursue it anymore. I felt like I'm just not getting this. Let's fast forward 7 years. So 7 years after the time I was driving in the car, I was doing another CD to meet a guide. I'm thinking, oh, this is ridiculous. This is not going to work. And I'm frustrated in that moment, but I saw the guide. So then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I had this whole visual. It was more of a male energy. And at the beginning, we were to ask what we would call the guide. And the answer back I got was Baba, B-A-B-A. And I thought, oh, Andrea, you're off your rocker, Baba. So if you haven't noticed, I'm pretty judgmental, I guess, when I do my meditations and things like that. So I thought that was a little bit silly. And then I do the meditation. We're supposed to sit there together and all of that. And it was a very nice exchange. And then at the end, we were to again ask for what to address them as or something. And what I was told by the guide was Saint Francis. And that really kind of took me aback because I was expecting Baba. That's what I heard at the beginning. But there was such an excitement. There was such an energy about it that it really stood out to me. So when the meditation was done, I ran downstairs. I went to my computer and I Googled Saint Francis. You see, I had been volunteering Reiki for animals at that point. And I was not Catholic. I didn't really know the saints, but every time I would do my animal Reiki, I would invite St. Francis to join me in my animal Reiki sessions just because I knew he was the patron saint of animals. And I thought, well, that would be somebody good to invite to the session. So when I Googled St. Francis, lo and behold, it comes up Father Francis. Then I Googled Baba, and Baba means Father Francis. And then that moment, I thought, wow, that's really cool. Reading further, I then learn that St. Francis's given name is Bernardone. The word Bernard and then O-N-E at the end. I was astounded. Bernardone.
That is astonishing.
And it all came together after 7 years. So stick with it. If you're not sure who your guide is, trust what you get and stick with it.
That's an amazing story, Andrea. That's you waited a long time for a pretty big payoff, though, I will say.
It was so remarkable. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And it was such a personal lesson for me to not doubt. And the lesson also is, you know, we might not understand things in the moment, and that's okay. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means perhaps we're not at a place to have the proper perspective or knowledge to be able to assimilate the information. I would invite people to always write things down so that they can revisit them later. That's what I had done. So I could go back in my journal and recall the different steps along the journey. And that's what allows me to be able to still tell that story all these years later.
Yes, that's good advice to write things down, especially as you are consciously beginning your spiritual journey and you wish to remain more open and aware to guidance and to signs and to messages. Writing things down, even if you feel a little silly writing it down because it just seems like it means nothing, it may take on a whole new meaning later down the road. And you're so right when you said that it doesn't really matter if you don't understand it first, because as I tell clients and students, when the time is right, the meaning and how it relates and applies to you will reveal itself. That's a given. We just need to be patient and accept and trust that it will happen when it needs to. spirit doesn't work on our timetable. It does.
That's
not.
For sure.
And we get in, not at all. And we get impatient and we want the answers and we want to meet our spirit guides now, right now. And I want to know a name and I want to see him or her. And no, spirit is completely unbothered by that. It just doesn't work that way. So patience is important, as is trust and acceptance that it will happen when the time is right.
Absolutely. I so agree with you on all of that.
So I think this can lead us to our next topic on spirit guides. Since we're talking about getting guidance and messages, what do you look for? What are the kinds of things that may occur, or what are the ways in which our spirit guides try to make contact with us and attempt to guide us? What happens? How does this come to our attention? How does it come into our awareness? Andrea, what are some of the ways that you can recall or are currently being contacted by your guides and by spirit?
I think a common one for people would be repetition. And I think spirit gives us repetition because it gets our attention. So some examples of that might be repeated numbers. I know for myself, it's 44. And I have had crazy days where I've seen the number 44, I'm not kidding, 35 or 44 times during a day. And it isn't just looking at the clock, but it's driving around seeing the number on license plates, on a phone number on the side of a moving van. When I go to the grocery store and look at my receipt, the total ends in the number 44 cents, you know, over and over and over, and it cannot be denied. And when that started happening to me, I was in a period of life with a lot of change, moving households, children leaving for college and things like this. So I had a lot of shifting and changing in my life and felt quite a bit of stress from just different places. And then this number 44. Now, what a lot of people do when they see the repetition is they go online, right? And they Google it. They look up the Angel Numbers website, or there's a whole book about it, I think. And I decided not to go that route. And instead, I got quiet and I asked Spirit, what does this mean for me? And I get a lot of my information, just sort of a knowing. And so when I asked what this number 44 was for me, the answer I got back was validation that I am not alone. And even though I might go through turmoil or stress or change, and it might feel like I'm sort of a little leaf on a stormy sea, that spirit never leaves me and that I am being looked after lovingly. And that's the response that I got. So repetition, I think, is very common. People will report numbers repeating. Also, perhaps they'll see something surface from maybe three different sources, maybe a book title. And so they decide, oh, maybe I should buy that book. We hear about it. Probably you have, Kathleen, too, in the Reiki community. Somebody's like, I decided to take this Reiki course because I just kept hearing the word Reiki everywhere I went. And they took that as a sign as well. And also when I write, often guidance comes in when I take a pen to paper. How about you, Kathleen? What do you have to say about receiving guidance?
Pretty much everything you said, I can definitely relate to. The repeating numbers, oh my goodness, all the time. For me, it's primarily the ones, 1111, 111, just 11, and I see it all over the place. You may recall when we were speaking earlier, I glanced at the clock and went, oh, it's 1111. And you commented on that, which kind of got us on this topic at that time, which was interesting.
Right.
So yes, and the repeating things, forget the numbers. Okay, the numbers to me are very important and significant because I do pay attention to them. I have found that they are very much on point with leading me in a good direction. But also just repeating in general, like a book or a term. Our listeners may remember a couple episodes ago, I shared the repeating Holy Fire Reiki term kept coming up in my consciousness when I was resistant to taking Holy Fire Reiki, but it kept coming up. It felt like every time I looked at anything having to do with Reiki, Holy Fire Reiki would pop up. Till finally, I guess it just sort of wore me down. And I said, you know, obviously Spirit is trying to tell me something. I guess I'll take a Holy Fire Reiki class. So that's an example of repeating, or a book, like Andrea said, or anything. And I've had students, like she said, tell me, yeah, I was a little on the fence about this, but I just kept seeing Reiki and classes and figured I would take the leap. And so that Spirit trying to get your attention right there. Songs are also, you hear in a certain song at a certain time where the meaning of it really just hits you. And songs, music, that's another way. Seeing animals, the same animal, whether it's in a photo, in your yard, as you're driving, overhead, if it's a bird, seeing animals, the same animal over and over, can also be a way that Spirit is trying to get in touch with you. And your guides are trying to get a message to you.
They are. I remember seeing a lot of cardinals and looking that up. It is believed that that is to signal or indicate that a loved one who's passed on is around, is visiting, and is still present in your life, which can be so comforting. Another place that I've heard, I don't receive this myself, but I have heard others say that they receive guidance through their dreams. Have you ever had that happen?
Not initially. When I first started on my spiritual journey years ago, I didn't remember my dreams much, but that has shifted, I would say, in the past 5 years or so, maybe longer. Now, it's not so much in my dreams, but it's during that in-between stage, whether I'm just dropping off to sleep at night, or that twilight phase when you're waking up in the morning, you're not quite awake, but not quite asleep. I will get flashes of clear insight, crystal clear insight, that it will make me go, oh, yes, that's exactly right. As you said, that knowing, and that's actually called claircognizance, right? That's one of the clairs, that yes. Knowing without actually being able to say, oh, I know this because, and point to a book or a course or what have you. No, it's just that knowing that goes deep into your soul. You just know it. That's when I would say the messages come in most clear for me, is when I'm dropping off to sleep or when I'm first waking up. But the actual dreams themselves, no, I can't say I've had that experience.
I am so happy that you brought that up, because that's me. I will wake up at about 4:20 or so in the morning. And this really started for me when I went to Egypt. And a huge awakening happened for me about my mission in life in Egypt. And what happened? I woke up in the middle of the night. It was pitch black in the room. And I just remember all of these thoughts surging through my head, words, phrases, snippets like that. And I got up and I wrote what came to me in the wee hours of the morning. That is guidance, total guidance. And I have to say, that's the first time I ever remember that happening. But it is something that has stayed with me through the years. And there are times that I get an entire meditation coming in through my mind. It's so frustrating, though, because it's glorious when it comes in. And by the time I can type it out or write it, it just loses some of the luster. If I could only just find a way to encapsulate it exactly the way it comes in, it would just be phenomenal. That early morning time is pure, pure magic.
It really is. And I treasure when that happens. It really is such an amazing and validating experience. And as you know, Andrea, I write a lot of articles. I have taken to keeping a pen and a notepad next to my bed. Mm-hmm. Because when I wake up sometimes in that way with these ideas and thoughts, I know that I'm supposed to write these down. It's as if I'm being told, write this down. This matters. So mm-hmm. I do. And I will just scribble it and scribble it and scribble it to the point where sometimes I will write out about half an article before I'm done. And then, of course, the challenging part is translating my writing right. when I'm fully awake. But yes. sometimes spirit gives me a hand there and I'm usually able to figure it out. You also mentioned earlier about writing and how you are guided during that. That happens to me, I would say, almost every time I write an article. I will write it. I'm in the flow. I'm in the zone. I'm asking Reiki to help me. I'm asking spirit to help me. I submit the article, it's published, and then sometime later I'll take a look at it, and I have no conscious recollection of writing those words.
Wow.
That happens to me so frequently. And I'm reading this going, hey, this sounds pretty good. Did I write this? And I know I did, but there was definitely a higher power at work there. So it's interesting how these things happen, though. I mean, the middle of the night, you're at 4:20. My time is usually between 3 and 4 around that time. And I'm writing things down. And if I have my phone handy, I'm talking into it. And then it probably sounds like gibberish. But yeah, that's how it happens when you least expect it. Again, spirit doesn't really respect time. It's not like it's going, oh, she's sleeping, I don't want to bother her. It's like, no, you need to know this now. So
right.
you're getting it whether you're asleep or not, right?
Oh, yes. And I have to admit, there have been times that it's come. It's like a tidal wave. And I'm like, nah. And it's just terrible. I don't do that very often. And then I'm always kind of sorry about it later. You know, as a Reiki teacher too, Kathleen, I bet you can relate to this because I'll be teaching the class and the next thing for me to cover comes right into my mind. What I need to say, what example I need to use, what story from my practice. It's just boom, 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 boom. And I'm not in my mind at that moment, sort of like when you're writing, I'm just taking what is flowing to me. And I think that's what can make a class so dynamic for students, because we're just not teaching in a static way. We're connected when we teach. We're connected when we write. And even when I respond to an email, and I bet you do this too, I read the email and I wait and the words just well up and they just come out. And I cannot send an email that I haven't read and reread and felt the energy of before I hit the send button. Is that how it is for you?
Oh, yes. Everything you said, again, it seems like we're very much on the same page with this episode, which is kind of unusual, but I love it. That's awesome. Yes, the emails, the writing, I am very careful about what I write in emails because I want my intention for the email to come through for the person reading it. So the energy of that email is important. So I'm like you, I allow that energy to come in and I know what I need to write. So I think that's super important. Again, it's just about paying attention and being aware of what's happening and being open to receiving. You know, spirit is always, always, always trying to get our attention, always. It's really up to us whether we receive the information or not. And by that, I mean we need to be open to it. Not everyone is. I wasn't for a long time, you know, in my earlier days. I just wasn't, even though I'd always been curious about spirituality and why we're here, those kinds of things. I just really wasn't open to it then. But once you become open and drop the resistance, that's when the information really starts to pour in because your guides are going, yay. She gets it. She's listening. And it's wonderful for them because they are able to guide you. And that's their purpose. That's their responsibility to guide you. And when you open the door for that, it's a win-win.
It sure is. But I want to ask you, does everyone on planet Earth have guides? and the levels of influence our guides have, and that responsibility thing. But the responsibility, not just the guides might have for us, but what about our responsibility to the guides? Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I laid a lot out there all at one time, but...
Sure. Their responsibility, at least how I, perceive it and through my experiences, is to guide us, simply to guide. And I think it's important to mention at this part that it is not to tell us what to do.
Right.
Because that is a violation of our free will. When we come into body in a human form, we are given free will. It can be a blessing and it can be not a blessing. So that pesky free will gets us all the time. But guides and spirit and Reiki will not interfere with our free will. So it is important to remember that a spirit guide is not a soul or an entity or a being that is going to lay it out for you and tell you this is what you need to do next. Their purpose, their responsibility is to guide you. We have to do our own work. Again, I've said this before. I say it a lot when I work with clients and students, and I'm sure I have said it in our podcast probably more than once. We have to do our own work. So you asked about our responsibility to our guides. I would say that's it. From my point of view, doing our own work. Doing our heavy lifting in becoming more authentic and more whole and moving ourselves forward along the path. There's nothing our guides love better than to see us thrive and flourish and evolve. That is their responsibility to us, to help us as much as they are allowed. Again, not violating free will. And what we can do for them then is to do our own work to make that happen. Because if all we do is listen to our guides and wait for guidance, we're not doing our own work. We are being led around by our spiritual beliefs and not doing anything for ourselves. That's not good either. No matter what path you're pursuing, no matter who you are, where you are, we have to do our own work.
So we keep the reins firmly in our grasp is what you're saying, I think. And
yes.
And what are your thoughts then on, does every human have a guide? If so, when do you think the guidance begins for people? And what if they never listen? What if they're never open to the guide?
From my perspective, everyone has a guide, probably more than one. It has been my belief, my perspective, my conviction, if you will, that knowing, there it is again, that not only do we have a guide, we have a spiritual team assigned to us. I learned a lot of this when I was working with past life regression training and subsequent regressions and in working with clients. There was so much consistency across that with the number of guides and how they change over time. So yes, I think I have reason to believe that each of us comes into body with at least one guide, more than likely a spiritual team. Now, when I say a team, I mean just that. It's several. Our guides change over time because if you think about it, our needs change over time. An infant who has just been born, a newborn, has very different needs of a spirit guide than a teenager or a young child or a young adult or a middle-aged person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, our guides change. And it's not as if the guides are not doing their job anymore, so we're going to get rid of them. It's about, okay, you've moved out of this particular phase. Now you're going to be working with someone who is more aligned with who you are right now. It's like going through school, right? You have a second grade teacher that you absolutely love, but when you go to third grade, you leave that teacher behind because there are new things to learn in third grade. And that's how I like to explain it to people. It's not about, oh, well, that guy's no good anymore. No, it's just that right now you have different needs. So I do believe and feel very strongly that we do have that team in place and that is with us throughout our lifespan. And you also asked the question about what about people who never listen? Well, that's their choice. That's free will in action. And perhaps this was something they needed to do in this lifetime to learn something eventually. I don't really know, but I know that there are people who simply don't listen and probably never will. But until they learn those lessons, they are going to have to come back and do it all over again at some point. So I feel it's just best to be open to it now and do the work, as I say, do your work.
Maybe people who don't listen or believe in spirit guides or anything in the spiritual realm, maybe they get their information or their guidance in different ways than what we're talking about. Because if they saw a repetition of a number, you know, that wouldn't mean anything to them, perhaps. But maybe it's something else. Maybe they instead personalize it or take credit for it. Maybe I just have a great gut instinct. And so maybe they internalize the guidance thinking it's them and their own skill. I'm thinking guides probably do everything they can possibly do in order to connect with the person, no matter how close they are. Maybe it has to do with nudging events to happen a certain way, or I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You could be right, where people who are not open to receiving guidance from spirit or probably from anyone else for that matter, they may internalize it and credit themselves with knowing all these things. I've actually known a couple people like that in my lifetime that would probably fit into that category. We got to keep in mind, though, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit, because when you think about when we come into body, we have already completed or we understand a sort of contract that we have in this lifetime that we are about to embark on. And in that contract, it's like a blueprint. It's going to let us know the lessons we need to learn, the karma we may need to balance, things like that, the people with whom we're going to work that will help us or hinder us in these regards. So, yeah, if we come into body with that. And it's been, again, my experience in working with clients in past lives and the training and just my own channeled experiences that the folks who don't seem to ever want to get the messages, they are closed off from it, they tend to be what I would call very young souls or even baby souls. They're relatively new. And they tend to be much more ego-based, more materialistic. These are the folks who are not really open to this. They think they've got it all figured out. They've got the answers. And okay, I imagine that you've met a few of those types of people yourself, Andrea. I'm sure our listeners have as well. They are all over the place.
Yes.
But so, you know, it's just a matter of, are we open to it? A young soul is more likely to not be open to the guidance than is a soul that has had many, many incarnations, or a soul from the interplanetary realms, or an angelic realm soul. That's a completely different story. But the guidance is there for everyone. Just to revert back to your first question, yes, everybody has guides. It's just a matter of, do we choose to use their guidance? Are we open to it?
And how do you think the higher self fits into this landscape of guides along with our earthly self?
I look at our higher self as being that portion of our soul that still resides in spirit. Because when we come into a body, we don't take all of our soul energy with us. We take only what we need to perform the tasks and honor the contract that we have set out to when we came into this body. So I think of the higher self as simply that part of our soul energy that still resides in spirit and is also directing us, trying to guide us, if you will. I'm sure other people have very different perspectives about it. But that for me has always been how I see it. It's still our soul. You can't really separate it. It's not like, oh, I'm here now. Here's my human self. And my higher self is somewhere else. It's out there somewhere in the celestial. And the higher self and me are inextricably linked. We're the same thing. It's the same soul energy. It's just that I, at this point, am having a human experience. It's a hard concept to grasp because that bi-local kind of thing, okay, you're here, but you're also there. It's kind of hard for our human minds to grasp. I know it is for mine.
Right. I think it's by design that it's hard for us to grasp because it helps us stay here on earth and do our earthly life. I think if I understood more of it, I would just really not pay attention as much to what I'm doing here. I'd be more interested in that. But I agree with you as far as the higher self being a part of me who's just not in body right now. But yeah, when you were talking, I sort of had this cool image in my mind of my higher self up there and my guides up there. They're kind of like talking all about me down here and, you know, trying to figure things out. And they're probably having a little party, you know, who knows, but it's all about the guidance.
Exactly. Exactly. They're high-fiving each other every time you do something good. You know, hey, look at what she did. Awesome. Yeah. Hey, we're the best guys ever.
Oh, that's so funny. And it's funny, too, about the time, right? I've thought, do guides get frustrated with us and things like that? And I'll say, I don't think they do, because to them, time is nothing. And even if we're resistant or we're not listening, that's still going into our experience, which that's never a waste. That's never wrong. I just think that they're patient beyond all explanation because there is no time, just our eternal nature.
Yes, that's correct. And it's funny, I've had this conversation about frustrated spirit guides with many people over the years. I've always heard that, oh my gosh, they're probably so impatient with me. I'm sure they're getting angry. My response is no, they are not. What you're feeling when you think about the way you're behaving and, oh, your guides are probably going to be mad at you or upset, you're feeling that as a human and how you would feel if you were experiencing that from someone. Well, if somebody did that and I kept telling them over and over again and they still weren't doing it, I would be so upset and frustrated and impatient. Yeah, as a human, of course, because it's a very frustrating thing. But for the guides, it's business as usual. The only thing that I think is different is they may step up the pace when we're resistant because they know that whatever we are resistant to is important that we stop resisting. Like the old saying, what you resist persists. It's so true. When you're resistant to something, this is something that you really got to start working on. But I don't think other than that, they get upset with us either. I mean, you've probably seen the memes out there with guides rolling their eyes and shaking their heads and the face palms.
Yes.
I don't think, and I certainly hope they're not doing that.
Right.
I kind of doubt it.
Well, I just take those memes as just joking around and all in good fun. And I hope people don't take them seriously. I certainly don't think that true at all. Something that you just said really resonated with me when you said that they might pick up the pace for you or, you know, strengthen the message or something like that. Because what I have found, and I think most of our listeners would probably be able to identify this in their own lives, is it's as though spirit or the universe will sort of give us a little tap. And then if we don't listen, if we don't take that advice, it becomes more of a little push. And if we still don't, it escalates and escalates until finally we get like a brick in the head. That sort of analogy sort of mirrors what you're saying. So yeah, that really does feel right to me. It's like turning up the volume on the message.
Exactly. I always say I got the cosmic slap up the head, which is like you just said, a brick in the head, because there's the little tap, then there's a little tap on the shoulder. Then there's a little nudge, mm-hmm. then there's a little push, then yep. there's a shove.
Yep. Right. And how many times has it right. been that you will just shake your head and be like, okay, already, I have no choice. I have to do this. And you have that knowing exactly. that that's where you've been feeling you needed to go, but for whatever reason, you just haven't done it.
I note different traits among various guides. Some are very playful, kind of fun. Some are rather stern, maybe a little parental. Others are just no nonsense, very professional. And it goes on and on and on. And I'm curious as to whether you've ever encountered that in your work with your guides. Have you been able to discern personality differences among them?
Many years ago, early in my practice, I would be working with someone and they were on my Reiki table, and I would have the intention. So some of our listeners might want to even try this, but I would look down. So I wasn't looking at my client or the person on the table, but I would look down and I would say an intention that when I raise my eyes and gaze upon the room, that I would see who was present for that person. And that's how I really started to tune in to the spirit guides for my clients. I would really invite feedback. If anybody tries this, please let us know if this works for you. But I'm answering your question in this way because how it was for me was I would see very different personalities, but in their dress. So I might have a spirit guide who was very interested in the success of this person's business career. This spirit guide came through as a business suit and black and white, you know, cut and dry, right? Black and white. Everything for me is very symbolic. When I see the spirit guide, I look at how they're dressed, what their appearance is, because what I've learned is it is symbolic and there's always a reason for how they appear the way they appear. And my next tip for people would be to ask questions. Oh, why is she in that suit? Oh, business. Why is it just black and white? Why does it look so stark? No nonsense. No gray area. It's yes or no or off or on. Sternness, right? That's how I began working with the spirit guides with people that I was working with. Personally, I've had a huge shift from the early days of St. Francis and Bernardone. I think that it's important to note exactly what you're saying, that the different guides have different energies, different purposes, and will step forward at exactly the correct time. And I don't mean time by the clock. I mean time as where you are in your life. What events you're engaged in, what are you wading through here on earth, they will be attuned to that.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I'm glad you brought up the subject of the clothing. And I like the way you describe your intention for your client. Let me see who is here for my client. I like that. I have always been able to get a sense of who was in the room just by kind of tuning into it, I guess. But I'm going to try that the next time I do a session because I really like that. It sounds very simple and it sounds very effective. I like that.
Great.
So thanks for that.
Wonderful. Well, you have to report back.
I will. And again, if any one of our listeners does it, I'd love to hear, and I know Andrea would love to hear what the results were. But I'm really glad you brought up the topic of the clothing and all, because I've noticed that even with guides that I'm familiar with clients, or even when an angel comes in, you know, as a guide, let's just use Michael, the archangel. I work with him a lot. And sometimes he presents himself to me in full regalia. I mean, very resplendent, very regal, very like, whoa, kind of overwhelming, like, oh my goodness. And there's other times where he's very just kind of casual Friday. I don't know. Just very casual. And I don't know. But I've noticed that when he comes in those different ways, he's symbolically letting me know the tone of the session and what the client will be experiencing and the importance of what the client will be receiving. When he's all decked out, I know that something big is very likely to happen for the client, you know?
Wow.
And when he's more casual, this is going to be just this is a nice balancing chance for your client. They're going to feel good and relaxed afterwards, but now's not the time for any heavy duty information. It's just interesting. And so I really relate to what you said. And I hadn't really thought about that until you used your example. And I was like, oh yes, how Michael comes in always dressed differently. And it's interesting, but he always carries that flaming sword. No matter how he's dressed, he always carries his flaming sword. He doesn't leave home without it, apparently.
That's funny. His identifying trait, perhaps.
Exactly. But I recognize his energy now when he comes in. It's been many years since I've been working with Michael, and I recognize his energy, but it's also kind of interesting to see how he's coming in at any given time, right?
Right. Yeah, that's fascinating. Oh, I'm glad that you shared that. Yeah, the clothing has always been very vivid, and I can see the most minute details of it. I can't really explain it. It's just very interesting. When I've had clients that had deceased loved ones come to the session, I'll be able to describe how the person is dressed. And it's very much how they used to dress, or very indicative of their personality, like very flamboyant or very colorful or very modest and reserved. I think having a curiosity about what it is you're sensing, asking the questions and being curious can really open doors for people who want to work more with spirit guides for themselves and also for their clients.
Oh, yes. And I think you just nailed it when you said being curious. Curiosity spurs us to action. It spurs us to want to know something. It spurs us to want to do something. That is how we then become open and eager to learn and know and experience. So yes, that is very important. And especially if we're wanting to start working with our spirit guides, the curiosity is necessary, and also the openness and the willingness to receive.
And I think what is also super important for people to remember is not to hold on. You might have a guide that you really love and respect, that you've counted on, that you know has just helped you immensely. But if you go to meditate or call upon your highest guide or whatever it is, however you intend to do that, expecting and almost, I'm going to say, requiring that it be that guide that comes in that's still with you. Oh, I would invite you, please don't do that. Be open to the highest guidance that is available to you, and don't ever hold on. Allow yourself to evolve. Allow your guides to evolve. Have that sense of freedom along your spiritual evolution. I'm sure the last thing that you'd ever want to do is thwart your progress because you are holding on to a guide that you had grown attached to, maybe. And so please be free and allow the guides to come and go. And I'll go ahead and continue a little bit about my personal guide thing that I alluded to a minute ago. What I found in recent years is I no longer see individual guides for my own personal self. And what ended up happening was I was in a Reiki class, and we were doing some sort of experience or attunement or something. And I knew that I was on a plane of consciousness, and I knew the ascended masters were present. In fact, I was kneeling at who I understood to be Jesus, and he was seated, But as I looked, it was all white. The foot covering was white, the robe white, and it all looked the same. And as I looked up from where I was seated to take in my surroundings, something very interesting occurred. And I noticed that everything, all of the beings there, were made of this white, but it was a single sheet of white. If you can imagine just a hanging sheet of, let's just say, really pliable latex or something that's white, and then imagine almost liquid, and then imagine shapes coming from the other side and walking toward you, there would be no beginning and no ending between the beings. They would all just be made of that one energy, that one white sheet substance. And it was in that moment that I accepted the connection of all of the ascended masters, the guidance. I didn't see them anymore as separate beings. I saw them more as one. And so in my work now, it's as though I channel or connect to one voice. And I feel it's more of a collective. In contrast, back when I was driving my van to work, wanting to know who's my spirit guide, name, rank, and serial number, tell me now, you know, all the way to today, where it's just this collective energy that comes through. And I'm okay with that. I no longer need to know who are you, what are you wearing. There's no more of that. I've just really seen a huge shift in that guidance. I guess that's about all I can really say about it. And when I write and do the emails and wake up at 4:20, it's that collective that is coming through.
Yes, I love that story. It's true. I would probably say the same thing for myself, that I don't see the separation of them as much as I used to, but I do still have them like step forward at different times. I guess perhaps what I need or what my client needs at any given time, but it has definitely evolved over the years. And for those listeners who are maybe just starting out with their spirit guides, just remember that it's a journey, just like everything is in spirit, and just be patient. Allow yourself to enjoy the ride, because it is amazing, and it is astonishing, and it's wonderful, and it's so affirming, as long as you allow yourself to experience it and remain open to the guidance that is always, and I mean always, there for you. It is just up to us to accept it.
Kathleen, I've had so much fun talking to you for this whole hour about spirit guides. And what a fun topic. I feel like we could just go on and on and on about it. So maybe we'll revisit it another time. And if you out there have any suggestions or questions for us that we might incorporate on future episodes, drop us a line at beyondthereikigateway.com. Until next time. Thank you again for joining us. And we would invite you to return to another episode as we journey beyond the Reiki Gateway with Kathleen Johnson and Andrea Kennedy.